Hello and welcome to the Nareit REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bork from Quito, and today we're looking at trends in the REIT healthcare segment with Mike Gorman, a managing director and REIT analyst at BTIG. Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
Mike, let's start by talking a bit about 2019. What were some of the major trends you were seeing last year in the healthcare REIT segment?
Yeah, 2019 was an interesting year, and I think some of the things that we were seeing in healthcare were also being echoed across some of the other spaces. And I think perhaps the key theme here is differentiation. As we went over the course of the year, what you started to see, and especially in certain areas like the senior housing segment, is you started to see a little bit of a differentiation in the underlying performance of the landlords and their various portfolios as we got further along in the year. I think the most visible example of this is what happened with senior housing fundamentals in the third quarter, where we saw a material deceleration for certain landlords like Ventas that put 5% negative same-store NOI growth, whereas you saw more stable results out of some of the other landlords like Welltower. And I think that differentiation was a little bit of a surprise to the market, where we'd previously been looking at kind of national trends with maybe a little bit of a differentiation between the quality of the various portfolios, but really trying to look at the macro trends. I think that's starting to trickle through to the rest of the space as well, as we start to think about some of the bigger trends that are going to impact in 2020 and how that'll have an impact on these portfolios that aren't maybe as homogenous as we previously thought.
And turning to 2020, do you see some of those same trends coming to the fore this year?
I think so, yeah. As we're looking into 2020, and we actually just put out our outlook yesterday, we see a continuation of what happened last year going into this year. We don't see a kind of a groundswell of improvement in any of the particular property types. Senior housing, I think, is still going to be pretty choppy at the national level. So some of the trends that we saw where certain portfolios were outperforming, I think going into this year, the same drivers are going to be in place, and we're expecting similar results, at least in the first half of the year, as to kind of what we were seeing in the back half of 2019. I think what's going to be interesting as we go into 2020 is that you're going to add a couple of additional variables into the mix that could really throw a wrench into the mix for all of the companies. And I think the chief among them is going to be the election cycle. We expect healthcare to be the top of mind as we get closer and closer to the national elections at the end of 2020. And whether it be Medicare for all or the affordability of senior care, I think there's going to be a number of issues that come up that, if implemented or if supported in the election, would dramatically change healthcare in this country. And I think that's something that investors need to be ready for, even if it's not their base case assumption.
And what are some of the other key challenges and opportunities that investors should be paying attention to?
Yeah, so I think two key ones, and I think the election is going to dominate a lot of people's perspectives this year, and rightfully so. As we talked about some of the big trends that are going to be forcing people to rethink perhaps some of the risk premiums associated with medical office REITs or hospital stocks and how they provide healthcare and how that would perform under perhaps even a more national healthcare plan, I think we shouldn't lose sight of the other driving forces for a REIT. For example, our strategist has a bit of an out of consensus interest rate forecast for 2020 going up to 2.3%. That would be a pretty material move that we think would have a negative impact on the healthcare REIT shares. They tend to be pretty negatively correlated. So that's another trend I think investors are going to need to keep an eye on. And then underneath that, the individual portfolio management, the individual new investments that these companies are making, we think the medical office stocks should return to external growth in a more meaningful way in 2020. That's going to be a theme to watch here. And just watching how the big three, Ventas, Welltower, and Healthpeak, deal with the senior housing properties, deal with their portfolios, and manage them and manage the underlying fundamentals. Those are going to kind of be the big themes for us in 2020 and what we're paying attention to as we go through the year.
And we hear the term silver tsunami used a lot in the context of senior housing. How has the phenomenon played out so far?
It's a great question, and the answer is it really hasn't. It's been more of a narrative driver more than a fundamental driver to this point. And I think the key thing here is the understanding of the silver tsunami and how it ultimately rolls through the sector. And I think there's this misconception that once we talk about hitting the silver tsunami, that immediately drives through all of the healthcare system. And the truth is it just doesn't, right? So with the average age of an entrant into senior housing increasing with some of the benefits of technology and some of the improvements in life expectancy and medical care and mobility and all of those things, the average senior that's going into these properties is older than they were 10 or 15 years ago. So when we talk about the silver tsunami, it's starting to hit and drive healthcare spending at the early end of the spectrum. Think about demand for medical office visits, or maybe even some demand for outpatient visits for joint replacements and things like that. We won't really start to see the impact of this the silver tsunami of the baby boomers hitting the true entry age for senior housing for probably another 2 to 3 years. In the meantime, I think it's the idea of that wave that's coming that has helped drive a lot of the development that has caused the weaker national statistics over the past 4 years. And I think that's what's given the developers the confidence to keep some of this construction going, even as it's taken longer to lease up properties. You've seen weakness in national occupancy rates and asking rents and things like that. I think that's part of what's underlying that developer drive, even though the national statistics are a little weaker.
Right. Now, another area of growing interest is middle-income seniors and the affordability of senior housing. Where do you see this trend heading?
So this is a really interesting one, and I think it's a little bit too early to specifically look at one direction. But I think the positive here is that people are talking about it more, and I think that's the part that is maybe the best trend to take out of this, is that there's going to be more attention paid to it. We've heard a number of suggestions over the course of 2019 as to directions this could take, whether it be a technology-assisted apartment living that is more affordable, as it doesn't have as much high-touch daily care, and it would be for a lower acuity senior, or whether it would be a model that some other countries have introduced where it's more a la carte pricing associated with senior housing, so you pay that kind of initial real estate cost to be in the facility, and then your costs would change depending on your needs for assisted daily living activities. But I think it's the focus here that is going to be important. It's going to be a topic over the course of 2020. I think it's a topic that could be prevalent in the elections coming up. And what we could see is this kind of fusion between senior housing and apartments, right? Because there's been a lot of conversation about rent controls and improving access to housing across the board. I think that's starting to trickle into senior housing as well. And so while we're not specific yet in terms of where the solution will come from, I think it will do the landlords and the operators well to start providing solutions or suggesting solutions before they get a regulatory one.
And finally, is there anything else related to healthcare REITs that will be closely watched this year?
Well, I think I can tell you the one thing that we're really trying to pay more attention to is technology and the impact on the sector. I have the benefit or the burden, depending on your view, of also covering retail. And it's been interesting to watch how the sentiment has shifted in the retail space because of the potential impact of technology, when almost daily we're seeing technological changes that are impacting our healthcare, our daily living, our the provision of healthcare. And it hasn't really flowed through to the conversation on the REIT side yet. Whether that's wearable technology, whether that's in-home automation, whether that's driverless vehicles or even shared vehicle services that improves mobility for people who can't drive anymore. All of that is really having an impact on how we live our lives and how we purchase, receive, consume healthcare. And I think it's a trend that's continuing kind of below the surface. And with the recent filing of One Medical for its IPO coming out of kind of the Google incubator, I think 2020 could be the year where technology really starts to poke its head above the surface and insert itself into the conversation for healthcare real estate. So that's kind of the one that we're really looking at as a potentially emerging trend in the conversation for healthcare sentiment.
Okay, great. Mike, thank you so much for joining the REIT Report today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Sarah. I enjoyed chatting with you.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed the podcast, please visit iTunes to subscribe or leave a review. And for more information on REITs, be sure to visit NAREIT's website, REIT.com.